like this, feeling so cold. But deep down in your heart, I can feel it. There's a heart of gold. Every time I can see it in your eyes, I'm the lucky, you're my key. Cause you're the only one that I know for sure. You're the one for me.
Hey, first off, I'm sorry that it didn't work. Brave face, frontin' like it didn't hurt. And I thought that it couldn't, but it's getting worse. When I'm dragged through the mud and I'm kicking dirt, but deep down I've been...
Hey guys, and welcome back to another Gathering of Momentum, number 16, I think we're up to. And today we've got El High Priest, and this guy is a foremost expert on, I don't know, everything that's going on in Australia, put it that way. And there's so many people that are following this dude on Facebook and Facebook Live. And what he's doing, he's basically taking the system back and feeding it back to them. The laws and things that have been placed on us, all the stupid rules and scenarios that have been panning out that innocent human beings are getting in trouble for, that the government has been doing tenfold for the last however many hundreds of years have been under this oppressive structure. So what we're seeing now is a rise of individuals who are basically hearing the call of action. And the call of action is to dismantle the system that's not working for us, dismantle everything that's basically been put there to block us, to slow us down, to slow our evolution. And we're talking from free energy to rules, to laws, to statutes, to prime ministers, to politicians who are gatekeepers, who are not actually doing shit all for humanity. They're just there pretending to do good stuff for us, pretending they're greasing the wheels of the old cart, which is working very, very slowly, and they're basically drip feeding us all this information. So now with the internet, now with investigative journalism and independent journalism, we are putting the pieces of the puzzle together faster than ever in recorded history. People are seeing through the false flag attacks. People are creating hydrogen devices in their garages. People are looking into common law, constitution law, maritime law. And they're like, wow, okay, everything we've been told is actually a fraud. It's a lie. It's completely illegal. But how come the government is allowed to do this on us, but we're not allowed to do it in return? Like money laundering, HSBC Bank. So I've just spat out a few topics now. And what we're going to do, we're going to get deep into a bunch of stuff that's happening not only in Australia, but around the world, and we're going to decompartmentalize it and then give it to you guys in an easy to understand scenario so you can take action at home. You can write letters in, you can hold your politicians accountable, you can do all these things. And as a unity consciousness, this is how we're going to change the planet. We're going to band together and we're going to shit on the old system because it's crumbling, it's falling apart, it's dead, it's old, it never worked in the first place. So thank you so much for joining us, El High, and please give us a massive background on who you are, because there's so many people going, who is this guy? Like, he knows so much. Like, who is this bloke? Where did he come from? Did he just drop here from another planet? Like, you are literally a forefront on so many things, and I have so much respect for what you do, man.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Look, I really appreciate it. I'm glad that you and I are finally doing this. We've talked about it for probably 12 months now. And I was always waiting, you know. I'll summarize why I haven't been doing this that much first before I go into my background. And that's simply that, you know, there's so many people who have been doing a lot of talking and saying they want to do a lot of things, and there hasn't been a lot of action.
No action.
Look, and don't get me wrong, there are people doing good things, but at the same time, you know, the action that's required to make a change is pretty robust. So I just thought, well, you know, what I may as well do is just stick my head down and quietly work away and get to a point where I can come out with some considerable success and some considerable tangibles that can be presented. And look, I was hoping to be a little bit further down the track, to be perfectly honest, before I did this with you. But at the same time, given my stance against the Australian government at the moment, given the fact that I'm pretty happy with the engagement, you know, at least at a subculture level in the last few videos that I've done with the High Court and with the speech on Remembrance Day, I thought, well, you know, now's a good time. You know, let's begin to get some more engagement. Let's begin to get the discussion going a little bit more, because I think the discussion is also just as important at the moment to continue to put pressure on the government, because at the end of the day, we're all voters. And even though, and I'll get into the technicalities of this a little bit later, even though we're voting essentially for an illegitimate entity, and that can be shown to be illegitimate on a number of fronts in common law, but also in in statutes and in laws that the Australian government itself has broken in breaking its own laws and not holding itself accountable to its own laws. And we can get into that. But my background, I'll try and summarize it as succinctly as possible. I was just a guy driving a van, not quite as elaborate as yours, bro. I have to admit, it was an old Toyota Hiace and it was a bucket of crap, really. But, you know, I was 19 and driving up to Airlie Beach in this old Hiace. It was one of those lever shifts in the steering wheel.
Tree and tree.
And had four speeds and, I mean, it was struggling. And I remember driving along kilometer after endless kilometer thinking to myself, you know, there's got to be a better way than this. And I'd had dreams when I was probably 17, I'd say, that really showed me, and they weren't the normal everyday dreams that you have. They were very lucid dreams that I was able to then look at science books and qualify things that I'd seen. And I began to get very interested in Tesla's work, and this was back in the 90s. So in the late 90s, I was looking at Nikola Tesla's stuff. I was looking at Windmaker stuff, and I began to really start to look into this at a very early stage. So I think that's why I know a lot, is because even when I was 17 in the late 90s, I'd already embarked into some of this research.
Right.
I won't go into it too much on this particular discussion.
Yes, we'll hit it again anyway, dude. We'll hit
exactly, because some of those stories you need to elaborate and open up even more.
Yeah.
But I did have direct experience with black projects in Australia.
Amazing.
Engagement with some very funky shit that was going down, and that opened my mind up even more to think, hey, this isn't just something I'm reading about. This is something, and this isn't just something I'm seeing in the sky. This is something that right here, right now in Australia, my government or our government is covering up. And because of how closely I got to that, I believe I came up on a number of military systems.
Right.
I started to be watched, so to speak. And that's not drug paranoia talking. That's just, when you're 17 years old, follow military convoys down the road and get stopped by military personnel and asked what you're doing, and then take off and then watch them and then follow them again, you generally tend to come up on some sort of radar.
Yeah.
I was just a curious teenager. So then when I was 19, driving in this Toyota, mile after mile, I said to myself, nah, we need a better way than this. And so for me, it was like, no, I want to dedicate my life to building a new engine. And I was referring, when I said that, to zero-point technology, you know. And so began to get a really great database, you know, even back then, particularly back then, a terabyte was a lot of information. And so I had a terabyte hard drive and had all of this UFO stuff and all of that. I was, you know, just hardcore, grassroots, had some friends into it down on the Central Coast, and we'd go up mountains and you know, really have a great time watching UFOs and stuff. And it was just good times.
Still doing that now, man.
But it was still casual, you know. We were amateurs and there wasn't really too much going on. And some of the stuff we saw was amazing, particularly at the hieroglyphs at Carrion National Park, just north of Gosford.
Yep.
So, long story short, I ended up moving to the UK. I went down to Melbourne and learnt the lesson of trying to raise money to invest into research and development in this technology, and just having every, and, you know, getting a nice suit, doing the whole business thing, and just getting every single door in the country closed on me. And what I soon saw, it wasn't so much my naivety or the fact that I didn't have a credible business or any of these things, was the fact that what I began to see is that these people knew about the technology, and they didn't want anything to do about it,
yes,
or anything to do with it.
Very happy.
So I then eventually moved to Scotland in 2005, and I was there until 2009. So I was 4 years in Scotland. At this point, I begun to get far more professional. I set up a company. I, you know, did the whole thing and began to have meetings with politicians. Sir Min Campbell, who was the leader of the Liberal Democrats, put me in touch with Ron Bailey, who put the Sustainable Energy Bill on the table in the Houses of Parliament in Westminster. and he introduced me to the energy minister of the day's policy writers. So these guys were writing UK energy policy. And I took Nikola Tesla's diaries, and this was really what started me in a far more formal capacity in this work. I put Tesla's diaries down on the table in Westminster, and these guys had never even heard of Nikola Tesla.
Wow.
So you imagine the ignorance. These people are writing energy policy for a country with 60 million people in it, and they don't even know who Nikola Tesla is, who developed the alternating current that we still use today. It's so nuts.
It's so mind-blowing, hey? Like, what
it's
the
nuts.
Fuck?
It's nuts.
It's like having Saudi Arabia or the United Nations watchdogs for humanitarian crimes or whatever. Like a few years ago, they put Saudi Arabia. Yeah. I was like, what?
As the human rights and Mugabe is the minister for the ambassador for tourism for the UN.
Oh my god.
They're idiots.
Yeah, shit. So that's what I'm living. Everything's inverted upside down in our face, and seeing it so upside down, people are like, they wouldn't do that because it's there, and it's like it's too brazen. But they're doing
it. It's so brazen. They're doing it. Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
So they didn't know about Tesla. And then on the second meeting that I had with them in Westminster, they were asking me about the extraterrestrial phenomena. I didn't say anything. So you have very senior members of the UK government asking me questions about the extraterrestrial phenomena. I found that very fascinating. Because it was something that they don't talk about publicly, but because they knew that I was familiar with that subject, they're then asking me, and not in a smart ass or tongue in cheek sort of, we're making fun of this guy. No, there was a genuine question and interest there from them. Mm. So that showed me, okay, you have interest from lower levels of UK government, really fascinated by this subject, even though there isn't a formal disclosure by the UK government in the extraterrestrial phenomena.
Do you feel that's because they had limited knowledge on it and they were like, fuck, what do you reckon's going on? Like, let's ask
exactly.
This guy and see if it correlates with our information. Yeah,
yeah, there's gossip. Yeah. So in all the communities, you know, these guys have friends and barbecues after work too.
Yep.
And they discuss and hypothesize and theorize about the same sort of stuff that we do.
Child barbecue,
I think what happens in jobs, especially these official titles in class, even from the outside looking in, we forget that these people, or a lot of people forget that these people are just people.
Are they? I don't know. Are they?
Well, yes.
What sort of barbecues are they having? Little kids on there?
Yeah, well, as you go higher up the chain of command, and particularly into the Masonic and Bohemian Grove owl worshipping and all of that sort of thing, and the Podesta emails, yeah. And I mean, we could get into that, Pizzagate, sort of things.
Yeah.
These people and the spirit cooking, particularly with Podesta involved.
Yep.
And I want to reference one name. What's his name? NSA Michael Aquino.
Yes, right.
He wrote the documentation on PSYOPs, and he was the reason why the UK guy, he was the UK guy. What was his name again? Who died in overseas. And his mum's trying to get justice.
Oh, you mean Max Spears?
Max Spears.
Yeah.
So Max Spears was starting to focus on Aquino, Michael Aquino, and the pedophile connection.
And the military pedophile ring as well. There was apparently a military pedophile ring, and that's what got him done. I was supposed to do a YouTube interview with Max Spears that week, man. They got him the week. I was supposed to do an interview, and we're talking about bringing him over to Australia and doing seminars here and that, you know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Feeling about that.
I know, mate. I know. And I mean, he had black goo coming out of him.
Out of his mouth. Yeah, and then what, the police disappeared. They went on long service leave. They never autopsied the body. They didn't call his mum. All this shit. It's like, far out, man. Like, what a sloppy job even hiding the fact that they knocked him off, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Michael Aquino, the pussy that he is, I need to get a prop out. Just bear with me. Just so you guys can see how serious I am about Aquino. There we go. He's on the bat, bro.
I love it.
So, you know, we've got a bat with some war criminal and pedophiles' names written on it, and it's a nice token piece. And I wouldn't hesitate to use it, to be perfectly honest. In fact, I took that bat to the front steps of the magistrates' court here locally, and the police delivered that one back to me. So that was nice of them.
Beautiful. Hopefully there'll be some teeth marks in there soon.
Well, if absolutely. If they're war criminals that the authorities are refusing to enforce justice on, I will be taking that back to the United States once I'm good and ready.
Hey, that dude, I forgot, I haven't sent you that message, but what was the dude from Comet Pizza's name?
Alfentes.
Yeah, I've still got to send you that message because he sent me this weird encrypted message. When I started posting about the pedophiles and I was connecting with Max Egan and doing some stuff with him, I got an inbox message from that bloke. And it was like, had a woman's artist name on there too. So we've got to go through that and find out what that was about. But that was a
direct... Yeah, absolutely. Facebook, yeah, like, well, James Alfentes, see, this is the thing. Look, and I don't want to get into Pizzagate on this because it's too much.
Yeah,
we'll go ahead. And what I do want to say, though, that a lot of stuff that came out about Pizzagate was deliberate disinformation to take away from the real information about Pizzagate.
Right, right.
Look, and I want to say, in terms of the legitimacy of this situation, there's no direct damning evidence per se.
Right.
But there's enough really questionable weirdo shit that alludes to.
Yeah.
And it isn't just what other people have said on the internet. I went onto the Comet Pizza website. And clicked on their partners, and one of their partners was a band that has children in pictures that are alluding to psychosexual content.
Right.
And babies in pictures that are alluding to psychosexual content. I clicked on their Facebook page, and on their Facebook page was a profile picture of a dude eating pizza, and there was an MC Wolfman was the artist. And when you look up MC Wolfman, he's drawn this art where there's this dude with his pants down reading a porno and this guy looking through the window, and on the back cover of the porno is a baby.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Okay, so...
That's sick.
And then in Alfentes' own Twitter account, there's this empty chamber, cement room, and someone's laughing, kill room.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of this sort of shit. So it's like, when there's enough circumstantial evidence, and when you look at the fact that Tony and John Podesta look exactly like the two mugshots
from Madeline
developed years earlier of Madeline McCann's kidnapper. Yeah.
And they were there too.
Exactly, because they were friends with Sigmund Freud's son,
right?
Who has a holiday house, a mansion, $1 million villa, a few miles away from where McCann disappeared.
Exactly.
And this Freud guy called McCann's mum and dad, and they went around to his house.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm fucking sorry, but Jesus.
Yeah. And they've got the sick paintings in the house too, the Podesta.
They've got the weirdo paintings, dude. I mean, dude, if our dads had those paintings.
Totally. I'd be like, fuck, Dad, put that shit away, man. Like, it just wouldn't happen. It doesn't. The thing is, this is what the common thinking, common sense. There's no fucking common sense anymore with anything. Like, it's like, oh, whatever. It is what it is. It's like... But in real life, if you saw that, you'd be like, you're a fucking weirdo, bro. And you need to have your fucking teeth knocked out like straight away because you're sick and there's something wrong with you.
But yeah, absolutely. And just in terms of the legitimacy of that artwork as well, they say, oh, look, it's all just, this is all just disinformation. No. I went on, Tony Podesta had an article done on him and his house years before Pizzagate even came out. Right. And you can see the pedo artwork in the photography that's an expose on his house.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, just absolutely horrid.
So anyone who wants to pretend that this isn't happening should put the tinfoil hat on all by themselves. Because it's about time that the idiots start wearing those tinfoil hats, because it's so obvious now, the crimes, that it's become ridiculous. But I mean, we digress, but Pizzagate... Yeah. is an important subject because it involves the livelihood and the innocence of children.
And politics.
And that's one of the key motivations of my work, is doing this for my kids.
Yes.
And really, just to sum up and really focus again, Michael Aquino needs to be held to justice. He developed the National Security Agency's PSYOPs program, which is psychological warfare, which is all part of Hollywood, the media machine. And it's sprung on from there. Even what they were doing with ISIS and Afghanistan and these fake terrorist videos that we know the Pentagon paid however many hundred million to a PR firm to have made, that's all a result of Michael Aquino's early work for the NSA.
Right.
And the guy was the head satanic priest for the Temple of Set, which he created. So,
yeah, wow, that's definitely someone that needs to be kind of taken accountable for, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, wow.
So, I was in the UK and then was invited to become the UK director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space, which is now called the Institute for Security and Cooperation in Space, and it's still headed up by Dr. Carol Sue Rosen. Now, some people will know Carol because she was on, she was one of the witnesses for the Disclosure Project, the original Disclosure Project that Dr. Stephen Greer put together with all of the military whistleblowers and others. Carol was one of those, the amazing looking woman, very long, bright blonde or white hair. Very lovely lady, and she's very well renowned because she was a teacher. And in the late 70s, she was introduced to Dr. Wernher von Braun, who was the father of rocketry.
Right.
And he was brought from Germany in Operation Paperclip. So he was one of the Nazi scientists that, the US brought from Germany to work for them.
Right, yep.
They're
on DARPA and CISPR and these things these days, aren't they?
Yeah, correct. They're still working, and we know that the Bushes were Germans and the Windsor family were Germans, and we've got a whole German. I don't think Germany lost the war, to be perfectly honest.
They won it, yeah. And for people out there, DARPA and CISPR and things like that, they're basically weapons manufacturers, but also they're investing in like artificial intelligence and all types of autonomous robots and secret space program prototypes and messing with human genetics and you know, transhumanism. So you can look that up, guys. Look it up, DARPA, CISPA. There's that much information out there. It's not it's not hidden. It's all common knowledge.
So DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And I was working with a guy who used to work for DARPA. He didn't for a while, and he was working on this scalar technology. He was a military guy that invented the GPS system.
Right.
His name was Bob Dratch. So he invented this amazing piece of software. Can't talk too much about it, but it was all it would do is essentially amplify thought processes and all sorts of stuff. So it was a you could have called it a non-lethal crowd control type of technology. But could be used positively or negatively, like a knife. You can use it to cut someone free of a sinking ship, or you can use it to stab someone in the throat. Just like all weapons, they can be used for defense or for, you know, more positive purposes or for, you know, negative purposes.
So continue on.
So
more about your background.
With the Institute, that was really what gave me an incredible platform to work. And then I spoke at the World Peace Congress about this technology, the Space Preservation Treaty. And then, you know, obviously because I am 36 now, and just at the sort of between the millennial and Generation X, I was born in 81. So it's given me an ability to be looking into this stuff for longer. And then with the platform that Carol so kindly provided for me, and then this type of luminaries I was dealing with, you know, because they had Sir Arthur C. Clarke on the board before he died. They had Dr. Edgar Mitchell on the board, who was the astronaut. And anyone who will look at some of Dr. Mitchell's last interviews will see that he was saying, no, the US government is hiding the extraterrestrial secret and the extraterrestrial phenomenon. And this is coming from an astronaut.
Yes. And for people who haven't also, get onto the Disclosure Project, guys. If you haven't really looked into the UFO phenomenon, God, UFOs, the Holocaust, vaccines, these are three things that are so heavily ridiculed purposely, because once this comes out, religion falls apart and all those other paradigms fall apart. The old energy paradigm of fossil fuels gets thrown in the bin because we're using like quantum shit. So look into the Disclosure Project. It's a 3-hour long movie of scientists, military people, top Navy fighter pilots all coming together in court and talking for a couple of hours about their experiences and what they've seen, their testimonials. So just, I mean, it's time to wrap your head around this. We're not alone. You know, this has been going on for a long time. It's not a conspiracy. The word conspiracy was created back in the 60s, basically to discredit anyone who was questioning the official story. So fuck that word off. Just throw it in the bin and do your own research, guys. It's 2017. Shit, you know, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not swamp gas.
Fuck weather balloons.
It's not weather balloon.
Men in black. Yeah, sorry, back into it, dude. I keep cutting you off.
No, man. You're right, man. No, it's good to hear it. And I like that we go over these points again. The Disclosure Project is really important. And then after that, once you've seen that, there is the citizens hearing that Stephen Bassett put together.
Right.
And then more recently in October, as we were talking about earlier, one of Blink-182's band members, Tom DeLonge, came forward and with a bunch of CIA people, Lockheed Martin Skunk Works people and a physicist, and said, we know the US government is hiding extraterrestrial technology. We now want to build it. We can build it for you. Give us a bunch of money. And Tom DeLonge is backed by none other than John Podesta.
Oh, shit.
Right? So this isn't a good thing.
No.
No, and just to really prove that is the case, John Podesta, you can go onto his Twitter. Apart from laughing at all the comments that he gets absolutely punished with, you will see that John Podesta tweeted about Tom DeLonge a day before DeLonge did the announcement, saying there's going to be a major global announcement. This is one of the most important announcements in history. Now, I'm sorry, but when Hillary Clinton, who we know is very powerful, when her key campaign manager says this is one of the most important announcements in human history, clearly something's up.
Fuck, you know,
okay,
you know,
so you're just getting the US government unofficially,
yep,
very brazenly admitting to this.
Yes.
But now then what you have is a government-backed PSYOP, because that's what it is, asking the general public for money so that they can build technology that they already have using a kind of used-to-be famous, maybe a little bit notorious musician from back in the day as their puppet, front guy, so that it's palatable and kind of friendly and kind of cool, so that people engage with it. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to trust anything that pedophile Podesta puts in front of me. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. And for people out there, this technology has been around and been used for 50, 60 years, like plus. And so what they're doing is they're saying, we'll build it for you with your taxpayers' dollars, even though we've already got it and we're using it, but we'll just take more of your money and give you something we should have given you 100 years ago, and we could have ended poverty, ended hunger, we could have no fucking cars driving on the road, we could be flying bloody vehicles everywhere, no more concrete, no more fossil fuels. All that is just finished, and it's like, oh, here you go. Let's drip feed you some fucking lithium batteries, these Tesla batteries. Tesla would be rolling in his grave if he knew his name was on lithium batteries, which is even more unsustainable than digging coal out of Mother Earth.
Why are we in Syria?
We're in Syria because there's heaps of lithium in Syria. They're going to have trillions of dollars of lithium in the Middle East. So now we're over there grabbing lithium for the next Elon Musk bullshit green revolution, energy like saving of the world. It's like, man, these trucks they're bringing out got 60 million lithium batteries in them. They've only got 20% better, they only got 20% more efficient than a petrol combustion engine. When I have a hydrogen set up in my car right now, which has given me a 30 to 40% fuel saving, which I bought off the internet for $250, you know, and there's also a sine wave pulse modulator out there, which we're going to put together, which will be 100% hydrogen. So rather than bringing out electric engines, which we brought out before the combustion engine came out, the first engines were electric. And cars were going on batteries. And then the oil company was like, hey, maybe we should do something about this. Then Henry Ford came out and went, fuck, I'm going to build a car made of hemp, running on hemp. So they banned hemp quickly, 1920, whatever it was. So we're basically gone backwards. We've digressed rather than going forward. But what we can do with hydrogen, guys, because everyone's making it, just fucking bring it out. Stop being so scared. Hydrogen, we can reuse the engines we have for now and just use them for the time being and phase them out as we get this new technology. So we're just using water, HHO, the most abundant resource on the face of the planet. With a good fuel cell, you can piss in it, you can use dirty water, salt water, whatever, and it will turn it into bloody HHO, which means your car's gonna have no emissions, it's gonna actually clean the air, okay, and we can reuse the stuff out there rather than bring out these stupid electric engines. Guess where they get their power from? Coal. It's electric. So we're not actually doing anything better.
So they need to use the coal and the lithium.
It's the same. And like this truck I've seen, like this bloody new Elon Musk truck.
I saw it too.
Looked amazing. Was there solar panels all over the back of the truck to charge it while you're driving? No, not a single solar panel. When you're loading up, you have to charge it every time because it uses...
Why have lithium when you can get kicked back on the coal as well?
Oh, God. Elon Musk, guys.
Not to mention that in those lithium batteries, you also need cobalt.
Right.
And 80% of the world's cobalt supply comes from the DRC. And these guys are digging in the dirt for a dollar a day with child labor.
Wow.
Slave labor.
Wow.
So for Musk's green revolution, it's built off the back of child slave labor. Fact.
Wow.
I've been to DRC. 4 months I've been to DRC. I know how it is. It's not good.
So this is where we're at, guys. We're at a point now where they're pushing new technology on us because we know, and people are building these things in their garages. You have people doing over Unity devices in their garages, powering their houses. You know, we've got people who are creating free energy devices in India. Harold Krausfeller told me a few months ago that you can buy a free energy device in Germany or Europe somewhere. It's like 3,500 euros. I think he said it was 17 kVA, which is 17,000 watts, and it lasts 7 to 70 years. So any of you people out there who are listening to this who have got your hydrogen device and things in your garage, it is time to bring them out. Stop the fear. Have the internet, give the plans to people, give them out for free and the money will come back. We have to end coal, end fossil fuel, end mining, end this coal seam gas fracking, which is designed to destroy the natural biorhythm of Earth and fuck up our water table and get into the Artesian Basin and poison off our water. So everything is just designed to degenerate the Earth, make us sick, make us unhealthy, not make right decisions. That's the world we live in right now. Rant over.
Yeah. Oh, so we started on technology.
Yes.
And then for me, it sort of became a process of realizing, okay, well, if we're going to do this, I'll bring it back to a discussion I had in Scotland when I was speaking to an alchemist who transmutes metals in Canada.
Right.
And he has metals that when you assay them, which is basically testing the purity of the metal and what metals are in that particular alloy. So it's called an assay and you do it for gold and silver and all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
There were elements that weren't on the periodic table in his metals.
Wow.
Okay, so you're talking about an extraterrestrial science, really, because you're talking about elements that are not of this earth that are coming up as manifested byproducts of this science.
Wow.
A fascinating guy. So it was Peter Grant, who runs a property development group in Edinburgh, who was right into the sort of early green push. He was mates with Bill Clinton and all of that ilk. And he was suggested through Min Campbell to speak to him. So I chatted to him and he actually financed for me to go to Canada. He was supposed to come, but he missed his flight, which worked out perfectly. So I went to Canada, drove up through the Rockies, drove all the way north into northern British Columbia with Alfred Weber, who was at the time part of the Institute for Cooperation in Space. And just to qualify, I really love Alfred. I think he's one of the most decent, hardworking, consistent, brazen human beings on the internet. But I certainly don't agree with a lot of the stuff that he promotes, some of the theories and conclusions he arrives at, or some of the wild theories of the people he interviews, just to really qualify that.
Right.
But I do love Alfred, and he was with us. Steve Kaplan from the New Energy Movement, which was one of the original United States organizations that was pushing this alternative science back in the 90s. They were called the New Energy Movement. So Steve was with us. One of the Hopi Indian, what do I call him? One of the people that they believe is an incarnation of one of their sort of prophets, his name was Adil.
Okay.
And it was Adil who introduced me to the alchemist. I won't give you the alchemist's name just publicly because he likes his privacy. And the reason I brought him up is because one day I was on the phone with him and he said to me, you know, Al, anyone can create the science. When he says anyone, he doesn't mean anyone, but, you know, there's a select group of luminaries that have been able to create some amazing technology in their garages, as you've been saying. And you know, I said, okay, yeah. He says, you know, the issue, L, isn't the science. The issue is the delivery system of the science. And so when you look at it, we've had this technology for over half a century. We've had it in garages. We've had investors with millions of dollars come to look at it. We've got the low energy nuclear, exactly. We've got low energy nuclear reaction technology with a group in Canada as well, so cold fusion. And there's investors there. DARPA's looked at it. A number of, you know, there's been serious investment into these technologies as well, and yet we never see them.
Yes, ever.
Okay, we see pockets of them.
Yeah.
But what we don't see is that the mainstream and its establishment picking it up, like they have with products like tablets, Sony PlayStations, you know, laptops, mobile phones.
Carbon tax.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not so much an issue of the impetus, the investment. It's simply around the military-industrial complex and the gatekeepers, where the decisions are being made outside of governments in organisations like the Council of 300, Tavistock Institute, you know, your Freemasonic sort of think tanks, and what's the main one? Your Bilderberg Group.
And the Trilateral.
Yeah, and the Trilateral Commission, where organisations that aren't government but have enlisted government high-level officials, royalty, and CEOs of big business are making the actual decisions about how to shape. You know, they call the high grand Freemasons master architects. Well, what are they architects of? What they're architects of is the social constructs of reality.
Yes.
So by these, and it's there's no magic to it. They say so mote it be smib, and they do all these weird gay rituals. They do. They're fucking weirdos.
Boy, boy.
Yeah, they're weird stuff. And I have something to say about that whole same-sex marriage vote too. Maybe in another.
We'll hit it for sure.
Yeah, maybe in another one. But
needs to be talked on.
But really, there's no magic to it because these people have all the money and resources, and what they do is they recruit from within.
Right.
So when you're a Mason, they have the secret handshake, and so. If you're a Mason, it doesn't matter whether the deal's good, bad, left or right. You do the little tickle me Elmo handshake in the hand and that deal will go ahead.
Yes.
So because it's an elite pocket of people with the resources and the manufacturing and the politics and the, you know, the farming or whatever have you and the control of the metals and the alloys and the money.
Yep.
If they want to make something happen and take it to market, they can. Because they've controlled the market, not for a few hundred years, but for a few thousand years.
Exactly. Look at Uber, for example. No way in the world could you start a company and just suddenly have people who have no driving, you know, they haven't got the passenger vehicle checks and all the driver authorities. They're just random dudes who have an old 20-year-old Camry and they're driving around picking passengers up. That would never be allowed if Goldman Sachs wasn't part of that and wasn't part of the plan to basically lower the prices of taxi drivers and then eventually remove drivers altogether and have the Google driverless cars and replace the human beings. So in the end, you're like, well, I'm making a bit of money doing Uber, but you don't know about it. In 3 years' time, you're going to have no job and you're going to be replaced by a robot. So yeah. These things cannot go ahead. And you'll find if you're trying to create a business or do something that's outside the system, you just have roadblocks everywhere unless you're part of the Zionists, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, whoever these, they're all a bunch of losers, all of them.
If you suck Zionist cock, the red carpet will roll open for you. And you just look at what's happening in Hollywood is that, you know, a lot of these women are now crying victim.
Yep.
But they were more than happy to suck executive producer cock when it made them money and fame and fortune. And now the feminist movement's coming forward and going, oh, we're all victims. Well, you weren't crying about it 10 years ago.
When you had a mouth.
You were more than happy. You could have said no, lovey.
The mouth was too
big. Oh, but then you would have had to say no to the fame and the money and the autographed lifestyle.
Yeah,
you know?
That's been since the ages, right? You know, humans have been giving themselves. There's always an exchange, you know? Yeah. Even husband, wives, people, girlfriends, there's this exchange going on. It's like, what are you giving me? You're giving me affection and company. And I'm getting you know, whatever from this. It's this weird exchange that goes on, and it's just, what are people willing to sell off? What are they willing to do? And then later on, when they feel remorseful about it, it's like, okay, well, then I need to take revenge now because I'm in a better place in my life and I feel I can do it. So
yeah,
that goes for, you know, what we're seeing at the moment with men and women to do with partner breakups and the children when they're trying to get custody. It's like this whole different scenario of events going on for men and women. And it's very, very difficult to navigate. And as soon as you're caught into the legal system, well, you're snookered, aren't you? You're just basically paying the judge.
Yeah, so that, and that's a whole other 1 hour long session, 2 hour long session in and of itself.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm involved in that same diabolical situation.
Mm.
So, you know, long story short, what I'm getting at is the technology preceded where I'm at now. And where I'm at now is a result of a really passionate interest in the technology and really taking what the alchemist said to me about the issue not being the existence of the technology, but of the delivery system. And so after, you know, a few years of really ruminating and pondering this, I began to learn, well, it's a twofold solution, quite simple. It's a financial problem and it's a security problem. Because if you've got the money, you can move it forward, but then you'll either get A, assassinated, or B, threatened. So you need security. If you have the security but not the money, well, they can't touch you, but then what are you going to do? You can't, you know, create a manufacturing and distribution plant of free energy devices to the third world with $300 in your bank account.
Yes. And that's another spiritual community for that because everyone likes to resist money and hate the system. But the system loves people having no money. It's like, awesome. You can't even afford to drive to a protest. You're going to go live in the forest. Do that because we didn't give a shit. We're going to be taking away your rights and freedoms the whole time. When you come back, you're not even going to be able to afford parking in the city because we're going to charge you for that too. So people need to start banding together and creating financial abundance to then take down the system.
100%. And that's why, you know, I really... did focus on finance and have focused on solutions to be able to create the capital. And don't get me wrong, it's a really steep road. And it was through that, through the people I met, that I began to actually become very aware of these off-balance financing transactions. And I began to learn about this money that was so big. And then you hear, you know, it was the sort of money that, what's his name? Benjamin Fulford talked about,
right,
and the dragon families and the this and the that, even though Benjamin, you know, with all due respect to Ben, I think there was just a little bit too much of recreational substances and not enough fact-checking.
Yeah, I've seen that in a couple of years, didn't you?
And I'll say that in all earnestness and honesty because I used to be one of Ben's sources.
Yeah,
you know?
I still listen to some of his stuff, you know. Some of the stuff's good and it's good to take what you feel out of it and whatnot, so...
Yeah. Oh, look, we'll move on.
Yes.
So it was in being involved in that world in the UK for a number of years, I became very close to it. I met a CIA agent in Knightsbridge in London. I was in a close relationship with a British Secret Intelligence Service agent. And the amount of high drama and pressure around that because of how dangerous I became to the British establishment because of what was happening back then with Lord James and others really began to set me on the platform that I am on today.
Right.
Because I, you know, I even did really pretty new shit that no one had ever done before. So because I'd worked in this level and I'd had discussions with very high up people, and I'd had these experiences I had in Australia when I was younger, I decided, well, fuck them. You know, this whole, we give ourselves this nice little badge and, oh, here's my security clearance, and they play this sort of secret boys club importance. Oh, what's the secret knock at the treehouse door? You know, do you have the secret password game?
Yeah.
It's like a child's game.
Yep.
So I thought, fuck you guys. So I actually drafted my own security clearance in my Australian passport.
Right.
Now, the law is, as a civilian, you are not allowed to mark in any way, shape or form your passport because it remains government property. That's their law.
Right.
and you can go to, you can either be fined or go to prison for it. So I'm pretty sure that putting your own security clearance in your own passport, not very legal, per se.
Yeah. What is
why legal? Why then? And there are a number of occasions where I passed through the Canadian border twice, and I passed through the UK border four times. On the last time I passed through the UK border, this very big matronly looking woman, very serious, looks at me and opens up to the cosmic security and goes, "What's this?" I go, "Oh, that's my exopolitical diplomacy to carry out negotiations and discussions with your government and international governments to do so within the law under the Vienna Convention of Diplomacy. And so I just need to put that in my passport as I'm crossing a border. I'm an Australian citizen. And yeah, I deal with aerospace jurisdictions. Thank you." She went, "You stay right there." Shit. She's a pretty serious woman. So I sat down. She goes up to the top office.
Yep.
Half an hour later, waiting. She comes down with my passport, looks at me, completely different woman. Her whole body language is softened. She's smiling. She's bending over and bowing. "Thank you, Mr. Oh, we're so sorry for keeping you waiting, Mr. Priest. Thank you, Mr. Priest. Here's your passport, Mr. Priest. It's stamped for you, Mr. Priest." Now, that's not the only time that happened, so it wasn't just a phenomena.
Right.
Myself and my business partner at the time, we were trying to fly out of the UK on the day where it was the exact day from the meeting we had at the first meeting we had at Westminster with Ron Bailey. We're trying to get out of London back to Scotland. It's now you can't carry water on the plane. It was that incident, right, where they smuggled some sort of bomb on a plane, but it was water in a water bottle or something. Yeah. So it was that afternoon. So the whole London city, and it happened out of London, is on lockdown. And my birth name's Peter, but my ticket was booked as Elihi. So right. I said, "Oh, look, here's my passport. It says Peter." She said, "Oh, you won't be flying with us today." She looks at my security. She goes, "I don't even know what that is." But the long and short of it, after an hour, the security personnel gets word into their earphone and says, oh. And out of nowhere, we weren't flying. Somewhere from the top, someone put in an order for us to fly. Not only did they apologize, they gave us like $20 worth of vouchers to spend at the airport.
On poison food. Poison plane food.
Yeah, on poison food. But what I'm trying to get at is that this was not just something I stuck in my passport. Yeah. This was something I did very intentionally because I knew that I was on their government systems at crypto and beyond.
Yes.
And so rather than just pretend like that's not the case, I actually began to formalize that it was the case. And so when governments look me up,
yep,
I'm on crypto. And I'm beyond most of their ability to investigate half my file. I was told by a CIA colleague that I've got a few thousand pages on me at the CIA, as I'm sure a lot of us do, but apparently my file was quite robust.
I imagine it would be.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is that these were things that I didn't just talk about. These were some of the things I did. Something I've been doing recently in relationship to this financial transactions is bringing forward the five-star trust issue into Australia. Right. Because I was given the information on the Nugenhand Bank, and the Nugenhand Bank were working with the exact same guys from the CIA that were involved in the cocaine trafficking, and the FBI documents that I've had verified show that.
Yes. Is this with Tosh Plumlee and all that?
No.
No, another scenario. Okay, right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, this is just... These are just off-balance accounts of trillions of dollars, which the reality is if we were to bring those accounts on balance in a way where we had global coherence around common sense, we could use that money to fund Earth restoration. We could terraform the planet, exactly, and not terra, but terraform, yes, the planet into a, as von Braun said, we could transform the military-industrial complex into a peaceful space-age society. space age society.
And we turn deserts into rainforests and we regenerate the oceans, use all of our technology to make this a heaven on earth, which is actually just right there. We could clean up the Fukushima radiation. We can do everything. It's all there. We have the people, the money, the, I mean, even places like India, I go there, I'm like, it's so full of rubbish. It's like, you've got billions of people. Just call the president and go, just one day every week, you got to pick up 10 pieces of rubbish and clean up the mess. You know, with so many people, like if we work together and the people in the governments just go, all right, let's, carbon tax is a scam. So why don't we, rather than worrying about global warming, let's just plant trees. How come no one's thought of planting trees yet? Like, let's just plant so many fucking trees that it reconstitutes the natural biosphere of the earth. Let's stop the geoengineering and let's just plant some trees. How simple is that, guys? On Friday, don't go to work, plant a couple of trees. Problem solved. Like, it's just so ridiculous. We don't even look at the simple things. They go, let's do this stupid process, which is going to cost billions of dollars and it's going to fuck up the planet. And big corporations are going to make money rather than planting trees.
Mm.
Planting trees.
That's I totally get it. But one of the things I've always thought as well is that whilst the solution is far more important and they say, well, you know, don't focus on fighting the old, focus on building the new. But the reality is you can't build the new while the old and its behavior and its child sacrifice and its people smuggling and its raping and its permanent war economy and it's the Australian government financing terrorism, as it just came out on Channel 7 the other day, that we funded the bloody terrorists who were involved in ISIS in Marari in the Philippines.
Yep.
You know, and even in ISIS, we're now wanting to arrest 14-year-olds who are potentially terrorists in Australia, haven't committed a crime, and yet the coalition allowed the most hardened battle, high-ranking warriors of ISIS, fully armed, they organized the convoy with the buses and the trucks for ISIS that were fucking penned into Raqqa in Syria. All we needed to do is just continue to bomb the fuck out of Raqqa, as we'd already been doing.
Yep.
I mean, there were kids there, but that didn't stop them before, and I'm not suggesting that's what we should have done.
Yes.
But if that's what they were already doing and we had them penned in,
exactly.
Why did we all of a sudden go, oh, shit, we don't want to win the war. Yeah. Fuck, we'll have no terrorists yet left to fight.
Exactly.
So they let 4,000, they weren't all, it wasn't all 4,000, but we let's say there were 1,000 fucking ISIS warriors and then there was 3,000 women and children that were family of ISIS out of Raqqa on a convoy 3 to 4 kilometers long with coalition fighters flying in the air watching them.
Wow.
Not only did we let them out of Raqqa, we let them out of Syria.
Wow.
And we let them to Turkey, which is the doorstep of Europe, fully armed. I mean, one of the trucks was so overladen with weapons that its axle broke. Okay? So this isn't just conspiracy theory. This was the BBC's investigation and journalism. So it's brutally honest. So why we're fighting ISIS in Australia, but in Syria, where ISIS really is, we're helping them get free so we continue the madness of the permanent war economy.
Wow. And that sounds.
And this is why, to me, the entire Australian government is in breach.
Yes.
Completely in breach. Exactly. I don't vote, not because I don't think that, you know, look, let's look at it. If I vote for One Nation, it's probably better than Liberal or Labor. But the reality is, to vote is me saying, I'm actually saying that you're a legitimate entity. And you know, it's not a legitimate entity anymore, because any organization that finances terrorism moves from a legitimate organization to a terrorist.
Yes.
If you finance terrorism, you are a terrorist. And that's in our Criminal Codes Act of 1995, administered by the Attorney General, George Brandis, Division 100 to 103, talks about terrorism laws. And if you finance terrorism, the penalty is life in prison.
Excellent.
So why is the Australian government allowed to finance terrorism, but a 14-year-old can have a chat with his mate about, you know, maybe doing a shit on Parliament House's doorstep, and he's going to be arrested for talking about doing a shit on Parliament's doorstep?
Yeah, well,
now, another thing, and this is important. just to really show the measure that I've taken it to. I called up the National Security Hotline and I said, I've got information about a terrorist attack in Australia. And they said, yes, go on. So I told them about the CIA and the drugs and all that. I said, oh, no, that's not our jurisdiction. I said, well, no, you've got to put me onto someone with common sense, please. And then they were continuing to be bullshit. So I said, well, I have to tell you right now, I'm ISIS. I am ISIS. I'm a member of ISIS. I told them this.
Yes.
And I said, and I have a bomb and I'm about to blow the fuck out of innocent civilians in Sydney. I said this to the National Security Hotline. Not only that, I gave them my phone number. I emailed them the entire evidence cache. And what happens? Nothing.
Wow. That is absolutely fucking incredible.
Nothing. 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 And they said, oh, well, look, they said, we don't record calls to this phone number. I said, why not? They said, we're protecting your anonymity, your privacy. I said, you gotta be fucking kidding. You want bio telemetry on the streets so you can do facial recognition on over 10,000 cameras around Sydney. You want to listen to our fridges, our electronically connected fridges, and there's Queensland legislation now to say the Queensland police can hack your fridge and listen to your conversation. Wow. So you want to do all of that. You want to have technology where webcams can turn on and see little girls getting changed in their bedrooms.
Mm.
But on the National Security Hotline, where terrorists might be calling up, you want to protect my fucking privacy. I said, you guys are a fucking joke. I am disgusted in my country. And nothing's happened. And at the least, you should get at least 6 months or at least 10 grand for threatening a hoax bomb threat. At yep. the least.
Yep. They just want
See,
you
See, the
to
reality is, yeah. when they look my name up, I'm too fucking difficult to deal with.
Exactly.
So it's basically given me license to break every fucking law I want. I get speeding fines in fucking New South Wales. They never fucking arrive.
This is amazing. Well, it's perfect. This is absolutely perfect.
Oh, it's perfect. It is perfect. But the thing is, it's like I'm a ghost, bro.
Yeah, true.
It's like I don't exist.
Yep.
I can do a terrorist threat. Look, that speech I did on, and I'd really encourage everyone, maybe we should link it, yep. to watch this afterwards. It's a bit more formal.
Yep.
That speech I did on Remembrance Day where I really, and that's probably the best one to refer to in terms of a far more sort of decisive expose on the five-star trust, the cocaine dealing, the CIA, and how that connects to the Nugenhand Bank in Australia.
Right.
And what I've been doing recently. Excuse me, to get justice, and then, you know, the High Court prosecution notice that I've written, which I'll be registering either tomorrow or next week.
Good on you. So for people out there, Elhi is basically prosecuting Malcolm Turnbull, Julie Bishop, all the fucking parasites. They're going to be taken to the Supreme Court, High Court.
High Court.
For crimes against humanity, for funding terrorist organisations and a whole bunch of other things, which they have done and which they are doing right now. And have been doing for a very long time. So the really cool thing about now is that basically everything that's been hidden is being shown to us now. Everything that's being hidden is being revealed. So people are cottoning on to everything. And now what it's about is us pressuring the politicians, rising in, going in, seeing them physically and holding them accountable and going, man, if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, we're going to arrest you and do a citizen's arrest on you and get you the fuck out of here because we're sick of you. Dirty little parasites, you pedophiles and all you weirdos who are doing nothing. And you've been doing nothing. And we all know that, guys. The general consensus of Australia is that our politicians don't do shit. So why do we allow it? Why do we continue to vote for these people and allow them? Let's put people in politics who are decent and then remove the people who aren't and don't vote for them. Put our votes in something worthwhile.
Wouldn't it be amazing if it's as an act of resistance or rebellion that not one Australian ever showed up at any of their bogus elections.
Yes. Yep. Just a tumbleweed through the middle. That's it.
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah. dude. Well, I mean, yeah, thank you so much for what you're doing. And I highly recommend people to follow you on Facebook and on your website.
The best place. I mean, just because that's where The reason I use Facebook is because I've got such a good support network there of good people who are on the level.
Yeah, cool.
And what I find is that when there's a consistent thread of people who get it, you don't have all of the trolling and the trash talk and the nonsense.
Exactly.
And really what this is about creating cohesiveness and a common dialogue and respect and growing a community of individuals who respect each other and who are good to each other and who get the information. Mm. And I think that's what you'll find on all the threads. So the best place is my own personal Facebook page. I've still got about 1,500 people that I can add there before I start opening up and doing a public profile. And I won't do that until I've actually got, filled up my personal one.
Yep.
And then I put all my videos there, and then I'll start to put them on YouTube just so people can share them rather than off Facebook. But yeah, that's the best place to find me. Oh, and not on your mobile because it looks rubbish, but I've got a presentation site at www.contact.org. It's a cool website, great music. It's designed for computers or laptops because it's got music and video backgrounds and all of that. And there's some really good information there too, including my World Peace Congress document and some of the more recent stuff I've been up to. It's just a nice website to look at, hang out, and absorb a little bit of information.
Amazing, dude. So yeah, guys, to spell his name, it's E-L-I-A-H-I, then Priest. So I'll put this into the comments and all the rest of it anyhow, but jump on, get him on Facebook, get him on his website and start sharing, because this information is information which is cracking the system. The damn wall's got cracks in it everywhere and it's starting to spew out vermin. They're starting to spew out everywhere. They know they're under attack. The system's falling. It's all collapsing. So all we have to do now is keep up the pressure, keep up the awareness, and get informed people to keep pushing. Do not back up, because there's a lot going on behind the scenes, a lot of really good things. But if you're watching the news, if you're watching the mainstream, then you pretty much have no fucking idea what's going on in the world anyway. So maybe you should question yourself on why you're doing that and what you're getting out of it. But thank you very much, brother, for the interview.
Pleasure, bro. Thank you for your time. Great to hang out on Nate Max. Let's do this again. Yeah. And thanks to everyone for tuning in. And I look forward to the next one, brother.
Great, guys. Thank you for joining us on another Nate Max TV Gathering of Momentum. And this will be on YouTube and podcast. And if you haven't got on podcast, get on there and subscribe to it, because it's an easy way to download and listen to the information. You can download it and then you can listen to it at your time on airplane mode. You don't need internet reception and go through the processes. So, all right. I'll speak to you shortly, guys. Bye now.